This blasted storm. I'll need to find shelter soon, before it gets any worse. Oh yes, great, well done. Looming ridiculous. Surely there must be something. A cave, or a caravan, or a cabin. Oh yes, that will do nicely. A bit run down. But it'll do. No time to be polite. Straight on in. Hello? Hello? It was at that moment I knew I had made a terrible mistake. The door to the cabin had slammed shut behind me, and when I tried to open it again, it wouldn't budge. Locked! I stared at the door, wondering how it became so firmly stuck. And as I did so, I witnessed before my very eyes a large golden keyhole suddenly appear below the doorknob. Now, that wasn't there before. Its unexpected appearance made me think. There's more to this cabin than meets the eye. And as I turned from the door and took in the surroundings, my suspicions were confirmed. It's enchanted! The cabin was obviously enchanted. From the outside, it was a simple, rickety old wooden shack. But inside, oh, well, inside, it was akin to a grand stately home. Fit for royalty it was. Audacious was its architecture. Inspiring was its interior design. And that was just the entrance hall within which I stood. The floor was tiled with finest marble. The ceiling was adorned with golden chandeliers. The walls were covered in detailed paintings of, well, of jewels and treasure chests. A sturdy, yet eloquent spiral staircase rose up and out of the center of the hall, revealing more and more floors as it went. And on either side of the room were hundreds and hundreds of doors and doorways to, well, to crud knows where. And then, a noise. Like someone dropping a tray full of dishes. It must be coming from the kitchen. Maybe there's a servant in there with a key for the door. Or better yet, a selection of cheeses. With no time to lose, I went to find out. A boggart. I should have known. I smelt it before I even got to the kitchen doorway. And once I stepped inside, I spotted it instantly, snuffling its way through the cupboards, searching for anything and everything to gobble into its heaving, gurgling belly. Knowing, as I do, that it's not a good idea to surprise a boggart, as they can get rather bitey if you do, I adopted to hide behind a big sack of potatoes in order to watch and discern what kind of mood the creature was in. And so, safely hidden, I watched and observed as the creature monstrously munched on an onion and grotesquely gulped down a saucepan full of milk. Disgusting! Rat. It heard me. Its beady orange eyes searched the room as its head bobbed side to side like some sort of hairy and hideous pigeon. I knew that it knew I was there, and so I thought it best to introduce myself.
Hoi hoi, good fellow. Could you...
The wretched thing threw a pan at me. Now, see here, you, that nearly hit me, you horrible little... Ah, you little... I'm going to... Forks. The nasty little cretin picked up forks. So I hid again behind the sack of potatoes and thought. What on earth was I going to do? I had to stop the boggart somehow. Calm it down or scare it into submission. Because if I didn't, I would end up as a fork pincushion. So, what was I going to do? Yes, of course. Oh, I amaze myself sometimes with my ingenuity. I reached into my adventuring bag and pulled out my spare shirt. The one I change into in case I get rather too fragrant. Quickly, I turned it inside out and put it on. Then I revealed myself to the boggart.
Stop, fiend!
No! Please, no! Not that! No! Not that!
No, you don't! Come here!
No! Please, no! Let go! Let go! No! Please, no! Let go!
Not until you tell me what I want to know.
Yes, anything! Anything! But please, just hurry! You look so slapping stupid!
How do I get out of this house?
You need a key!
Well, yes, obviously I need a key. So where do I get one?
Okay, but first, just put your shirt on properly! You look so ridiculous, you freak!
Not until you tell me where I can find the key!
I can see your label, you maniac! Your sleazing label! Do you have no shame?
Where's the blooming key?
The master has it! The master!
And where's the master?
Behind you!
What?
Behind you!
What? You little rat face!
It tricked me.
Throw yourself out, man!
Of course it did. They always do. But at least I learned that there was a master of the house, and that they had the key to get out. I just had to find them, ask to be let out, and then, if the storm outside had passed, be on my merry way. But I doubted that the master of such a fine and enchanted household would be found in the kitchen, so I ventured back into the entrance hall. Back in the hallway, flanked by hundreds of doors, I began to consider my options. And as I mused, I sniffed a comforting smell.
A wood fire. Coming from, yes, that open doorway. Must be the drawing room, a good place to find a master of the house.
But I was wrong. Oh, so wrong. The fireside within the drawing room was the biggest I'd ever seen. The heat it emitted was ferocious, but welcoming. My clothes were sodden from the storm outside, and my bones ached with a chilly shiver.
Hello?
But no one was there.
Maybe they've just popped out. I'll just wait here until they come back.
And so I took a welcome rest on the nearest seat, a chestnut-brown Chesterfield chair, and scanned the room around me. The walls were lined with tall bookshelves, a large window covered by thick red velvet curtains let in a single sliver of light that divided the room in twain. On the floor were various rugs of differing sizes, patterns and colours. It was a cosy, but quite unsettling room. For there was no one there but myself and the strange stillness of an empty room.
until the room began to shake. Books flew from the shelves, falling hard upon the floor. The chairs and tables began to shudder across the room.
What on earth?
I got up and shakily made my way to the window, dodging falling plaster and books along the way. With a tight grip, I flung open the curtains, only to see, in my grotesque horror, a gigantic, bulbous, crusty toe, as large as a pop-up tent and topped with a thick yellow nail.
A giant?
A finger then smashed through the ceiling, wiggling around as if trying to find something.
What?
I had no idea, and no time to think. Another finger forcefully pierced the ceiling, causing all manner of detritus to fall down upon and around me. If this were to carry on, the whole house would soon come down. But then, a bit of luck. The giant, while prodding around, stuck one of its fingers straight into the fireside, followed by its swift removal, leaving a gaping hole in the ceiling above, from which I could see the storm still raging on outside. Well, for a moment at least, for it was soon eclipsed by the giant's eye, that stared into the room and then into my very soul. What was I to do? The giant could easily bring the house down in one deft swipe. Maybe it thought I was the one that caused its finger to burn. Maybe it was looking for a snack and found one in the shape of yours truly. Either way, it wasn't looking good. So, what was I to do?
Of course, the tinfoil for my sandwiches!
I knew the giants couldn't resist shiny things, and maybe, just maybe, the tinfoil would distract it from its current demolition work. So I straightened out the tinfoil as far as it could go and waved it in the air. The flickering light from the fire twinkled off its shiny, creased surface, and the giant absolutely loved it. With the giant firmly enthralled, I made my way to the window. And through the broken window, I waved the tinfoil some more.
Come and get it, you big lump of custard!
The giant bounded over, bent down and, rather carefully for a giant, took the tinfoil from my fingers.
Shiny.
Yes, shiny. And yours.
Mine. Shiny mine.
And with that, the giant hopped, skipped, and jumped itself away from the house, holding the tinfoil close to its heart. It was kind of sweet, really, if it wasn't so blooming terrifying. Then I remembered about the key.
Do you know where the master of the house is? Oi! Where's the master of the...
Oh, never mind. It was too far away and too invested in its new toy to hear me. So I had to figure this thing out on my own, yet again. So, the master of the house was quite obviously not in the drawing room. Plus, I didn't want to be there when he got back, in case they thought it was me who trashed the place. Which meant I had to go and find them. Now, I could have wandered through the house, opening doors willy-nilly, but I'd already met with a boggart and a giant, so who knew what else might be out there? No. I needed a way to accurately pinpoint where the master of the house was. Something to guide me in the right direction. So, what was I going to do?
spinning rods, of course!
Back into my bag I went, and removed the two divining rods from within. They were made from hazel wood, slightly curved and perfectly equal in length. I held them out in front of me, parallel to each other, and then I tried to clear my mind to make sure there was nothing inside but silence.
Stilton, Kedder, Red Leicester, Stickin' Bishop. Stilton, Kedder, Red Leicester, Stickin' Bishop. Better. Wensleydale, Edam, Pottage.
I said flippin' oom!
And once my mind was empty, I asked the question.
Where is the master of the house?
Aha! The rods crossed over each other, and then moving as one, they pointed left, then right, and then straight towards the door.
And with that, we're off.
Across the entrance hall I went, led by the gentle changes in the divining rod's direction, until I got to the bottom of the staircase.
Upstairs, is it?
Crud knew what I would find up there, but the rods were never wrong, so I ascended the staircase. Up and up and up again, past the first, second and third floors, until I reached the very top of the staircase.
That's curious.
Indeed, it was. For at the top of the staircase, after the last step, there was, absolutely, undeniably, nothing. The staircase on which I climbed arose out of the floor far below, like a mountainous, spiralling ladder. And I was the madman, stood on the top. I could see everything from up there, including the crystal chandeliers, which now floated in the air because, well, because there was no ceiling for them to be attached to. And above me, there was blackness. A hollow night sky, void of stars or a moon, clouds or a movement. But the strangest thing was that, in all of this, the divining rods were still pointing me forward, as if they wanted me to step off the last stair, for me to fall down, hard, onto the marble tiles below.
Well,
I thought,
it's an enchanted house after all.
So, I stepped forward. I didn't fall to my death, but instead stepped out into an enormous, sprawling ballroom. The void above me was no longer simply blackness, but rather a mixture of stormy blues and thunderous purples. A collection of colours that cautiously moved around each other to form rolling vortexes. It was like looking at the start of a silent storm in the summer twilight sky. And all of this was held up by two strong stone pillars. Well, I assumed there were to be more than two, otherwise the room wouldn't be structurally safe. But if there were more pillars, I couldn't see them, nor much else. For covering the floor and wall and coiled around the pillars was a red, scaly, and impossibly large dragon. Or what I took as a dragon.
All I could see were clinking, heaving scales that rose up and down as it took deep, low breaths. And then...
Hello, yes, I'm...
What do you want?
Okay, well, I'm looking for...
Why are you here?
Yes, well, I'm trying to...
Where did you come from?
I'm looking for the master of the house.
Then you have found him.
Oh, really? You're the master of the house. Ah, well, fantastic. Could you...
What do...
For God's sake.
You want?
I want the key, man, the key!
He who asks must offer first. And if he does not, he shall be eaten.
Eaten? I think I'd prefer that at this moment.
What?
Nothing.
I had to give the dragon something in exchange for the key. Otherwise, he'd eat me, and I didn't really like that option. So, what was I going to give him? What do dragons like the most? And what do they enjoy? What could I give or do that would appease him? What was I going to do? Yes, of course, dragons love riddles, as well as gold. But I had no gold on me, so riddles it was.
I have a rather wonderful riddle to tell.
Ah, yes. It's been some time since I've heard a decent riddle.
Fantastic. Well, here it is. Yeah, of course there are conditions. Ridiculous.
Tell me your riddle. If it pleases me, I will tell you one in return.
And if it doesn't please you, you'll...
I will eat
me.
You.
Yes, got it. So, my riddle...
If you get my riddle wrong...
You'll eat me?
I will eat you.
Yeah, didn't see that coming.
Now, tell me your riddle.
Okay, ready? I drive people mad for love of me. Easily beaten, never free. What am I?
Ah, yes, that's a good one. And of course,
which is? What's the answer to the riddle?
Yes, I know the answer.
Well, tell me. Tell me then.
Let's say it together. It's more fun that way.
Okay, fine. Ready? One, two, three, go.
Gold, yes. I knew. Very good. I like gold. Now here is my riddle, given to me by my friend, the Sphinx.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's a doozy.
Yep.
I was stumped. I was sure I'd heard the riddle before, but for some reason I couldn't remember the answer. And so I thought, hard, what was the answer to the riddle?
Then, as if a voice from deep inside my mind told me, I knew the answer. A human!
What? How did you know?
Easy, really, when you think about it. In the morning of our life, when we are babies, we crawl on all fours. Then in the afternoon, we learn to walk on two legs. And then in the evening years, when we are old, we use a walking stick, yes, to help us. Hence the three legs.
Very well. You have earned the key. Take it before I change my mind.
The scales in front of me began to shift as a giant tail slid across the floor, revealing between the two stone pillars a golden box and a purple bag. I quickly grabbed them, not wanting to spend more time in that cursed room than necessary, then made my way back to the staircase, hopefully never to meet with the master of the house ever again. With the newly acquired box and bag in hand, I raced down the spiral staircase to get back to the entrance hall, unlock the door, and leave. But when I reached the main door, the place where all the nonsense started, I realized I hadn't even properly looked at the box or bag. So I investigated them.
This isn't going to be simple, is it?
And it wasn't. The box was a puzzle box. It wouldn't open unless I solved the puzzle. So it was safe to assume the key was inside of that. And the bag? That was filled with runes.
So the runes must open the box somehow.
I picked up the box to investigate it further. On the top, there were three rune-shaped indentations, and under each of them were the words, Wisdom, Reward, Home.
I think I must place the correct runes into their rightful place, yes, and that should open the box.
But which of the runes was I to use? I knew that they were Old English runes, similar to the ones used by Anglo-Saxon mages. So I just had to find the ones that matched the words, Wisdom, Reward and Home. But which runes were they? What was I to do?
Of course, yes! Os, Theo, Odal! Wisdom, Reward, Home!
I searched for the right runes, looking for the etched-in symbols for Os, Theo, and Odal. And when I finally found them, I frantically placed them into their corresponding space on top of the box.
Yes!
And there it was, gleaming like daylight, a golden key for the golden keyhole. Finally, my way out of the house was in my hands.
Well, let's go see what the weather's like.
I was met by a wonderfully beautiful day. The storm had passed. Finally, time to leave. So I turned to close the door behind me and took one last look at the grand house inside the rickety cabin. And a thought occurred. Although I was forced indoors by an uncontrollable event and without my say, I did have quite the adventure while in there. Yes, at times I was annoyed, stressed, and in pain, but I also had fun. Tested myself, learned new things, and it was a heck of a lot safer than being out in the storm.
I might miss this old place. Maybe I should get one of my own one day. And so, my adventure in the house in the storm came to an end. But now that the storm had passed, there was no doubt that there would be many, many more adventures to come. And I couldn't bloomin' wait.
Written by Dr. Oliver Bishop. The Boggart was played by Dr. Oliver Bishop. The Giant was played by Dr. Oliver Bishop. And the Dragon was played by Dr. Oliver Bishop. What a guy. Music composition and sound design by Craig Arthur Adams. A Yantan Tether production. No Boggarts were harmed in the making of this production. To find out more, go to yantantether.org. Peace!
Made with funding from the GMCA Creative Commission in response to the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic.